Father, stir in us fire. Stir in us passion. Lord, we are so prone to wonder, so prone to be complacent. Stir us up. God, you have truly done so much in our lives that we should be excited women. We should be fervent women. And so, Lord, speak to us tonight and stir up any part in our lives, Lord, have just become kind of sullen and complacent towards you, Lord. Thank you that you are never complacent towards us. In Jesus' name, amen. Good evening. Am I on? I am on here. Test, test. Can everybody hear me? Okay. There we go. I want to get straight into the study tonight because we have a lot to cover. So if you've turned in your Bibles to Galatians 5. And as we approach this, we're not talking about theory. You know, we're talking about truths here that work. I love reading secular psychology books as a Christian counselor because they kind of tell us how we tick, you know, how someone will react once a traumatic experience that has happened to them. But then the problem with secular psychology is once you say, okay, you know how I tick, you know why I act like I do, can you change me? And they say, we think so. Let's start maybe working on your self-esteem, or let's start working at why you're like you are, you know. And so we look at Galatians 5 here and this truth that when we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Truth, not theory, you know, not maybe I'll apply this and it's going to work, but it's the truth of God, how you and I can walk victoriously. When God says the flesh has been beaten, we got to believe it. When God says you have power to resist the flesh, it's not a maybe. It's truth here. So we've got to look at this as truth and believe what God says, because it's when we believe it that we start living in the experience of it. So this is key tonight. Our text today is really the end of a paragraph that begins with verse 16, and you saw that in your homework, but I wanted to read that paragraph together before we get into the study, starting with verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, and it goes through what those are. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. We're going to spend most of our time tonight in verse 25, but before we do, I want to look at those two verses that sandwich in 25, verses 24 and 26, beginning with the last verse, 26. It says, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. As we continue to look at walking in the Spirit, we see these actions of verse 26 are the opposite of that. As you saw in your homework when you looked at James 3, 14 to 18, when we're walking in these sort of things, we're not walking in the Spirit, but where does it say those actions come from? Remember, it says they're earthly and sensual and demonic, or really in modern terms, it's they're either of the world, they're of our own natural thinking, or they're of the devil. And we got to see, you know, when we're functioning in the fruit of the Spirit, we will not be doing these things of the flesh. And when we're functioning in the flesh, we're not going to be functioning in the things of the Spirit. It's not a 60-40 thing. You know, we kind of like to believe that. You know, well, I'm kind of flesh and I'm kind of spirit. We're functioning in one or the other, and what we function in is up to us. When we rate ourselves according to the law, like the Judaizers did, you know, the good people do this and the bad people do that, and we think we're one of the righteous ones, Paul calls us conceited. When we take the glory, not even seek the glory, but even take the glory for ourselves, we're conceited. And then we tend to provoke others. You know, you should be doing it this way. You should be behaving the way I do. A Spirit-filled life points to Jesus, doesn't it? And so when you see a life that is pointing to self, you know, that is not a Spirit-filled life. So we add that instruction of verse 26 to our list of instructions, and hopefully you did that in your group when you got that list tonight. And we'll be adding to that as we get into chapter 6. There's quite a few instructions. Verse 24 now says, "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Now, it's important to note, as we look at these verses about walking in the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit and crucifying the flesh, these things are ours. We have the fruit of the Spirit inside of us if we're saved. We have crucified the flesh if we're saved. We can walk in the Spirit if we're saved. But the experience of those things is up to us. Those who are in Christ have those things. The experience of these things begins first with the realization that as a believer, we belong to Christ. We've got to really get this down deep in our minds and our hearts. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You are bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You and I have to believe this. I'm not mine. I've been bought with something that was very expensive to God, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, most expensive thing he could offer. Therefore, I don't get to live for me anymore. My place is to live for him, to glorify him. Titus 2:14 says, speaking of Jesus, who gave himself for us. Why? That he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. His own special people. Remember, I've talked about that being peculiar in Old King James, and that the Greek word being dot and circle. And you are that dot, and he has encircled you as his own private special possession. He gave himself for you and for me so that he could do that, so that you could be his own private special possession. That's awesome. And we got to believe that if we're going to experience these fruit of the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. See, that's the attitude of the Spirit. The attitude of the flesh says, yeah, you're saved, but do what you want to do. It's not going to affect your salvation. Why bother walking in the Spirit thing? Why bother to submit to the Spirit? It's the flesh that tells you that. Which of these attitudes do you start your day with? I'm bought with the price, and therefore, this day, I'm going to glorify Jesus. Or, what does it matter? Got my salvation. Whichever wins will probably pretty much determine how you walk the rest of that day. But whichever you choose as a believer, the next part of this verse, in verse 24, is true for you. Your flesh has been crucified along with its passions and desires. Now, here's where I might lose you. You know, you might think, yeah, right. My passions and my desires are very much alive. They are not crucified. He can't be saying they're dead. So what is Paul saying? Because how can he say they're dead? He tells us the flesh and the spirit are going to war against each other. And when does that war begin? When we accept Jesus Christ as Savior. So the flesh isn't dead. It's there to fight. So what is he saying? See, it not only speaks of who we are in Christ, or our position in Christ, but that experience that has been made possible because of who we are. It's important for us to understand that all these privileges and powers have been put to our account. have been made available to us. But see, whether we use them or not, that's our choice. That's up to us. Like this illustration here. Jesus steps on the other counter, the other side of the counter in this store, and you and I take our long list, which it would look a whole lot longer than that, wouldn't it? You know? And this is all I've done. And the payment, the penalty for that, the total, adding up everything you've done and I've done, death. And Jesus says, I'll get this one. You know, he comes in the shop of our flesh and he pushes aside the old owner and he says, I'll take it. And he pays our entire bill. But he doesn't stop there. And too often we see him stopping there. But what he does, I Googled MasterCard logo. He hands us his credit card, and really that's a prepaid credit card without a limit, you know. And he says, I got it covered. Now I want you to go into my storeroom, the storeroom of the Spirit, and use this. You need mercy? You got it. You need forgiveness? You got it. You need strength? Swipe it. You need wisdom? Swipe it. Oh, you need wisdom again? Swipe it again. Mercy again? Oh, you just used it 10 minutes ago. Swipe, swipe, swipe. It's all there, unlimited. It's up to us whether we live our lives continually handing over the bills of our debts to him, or we live in the store of our inheritance, buying up all the things he has for us. See, you and I either shop in one shop or the other. And he tells us, don't shop in the store of flesh anymore. Go over and shop in my store. Buy everything that you want and that you need. Now, according to Galatians 5:24, our flesh, that old, rebellious, unbelieving, self-centered person we were apart from Christ, was crucified. Now, when did that happen? When we put our faith in Christ, we were united with him so that what he experienced was true for us. His death became our death. His life became our life. That's what God says. That's how God sees it. That he put us right with Christ. When Christ died, he says, you died with him. The experience of your death, he took. When he gained life, you gained life. And the person we used to be died. The blow against the hold that Satan had on us was struck. And we moved from death to life. And at that very moment, we receive the credit card, the benefits, the riches of the inheritance that God has for all of his children. The victory over sin with Jesus, which Jesus gained on the cross, is made actual at that moment. We experience it as we yield to the Holy Spirit. See, it's the Holy Spirit's ministry or the Holy Spirit's job to apply salvation from the power of the sinful nature. And so the Holy Spirit's got this ministry that he makes the riches of the inheritance effective in our lives, and he has that ministry of producing fruit. That's what he does. That's what he wants to do in our lives. He not only keeps us and gets us to heaven, he has that power, but he empowers us daily to walk in this life. Jesus secured the privilege for us, and the Holy Spirit is the one that works it out in us. He's the one that makes it happen as we yield to his work. See, he doesn't push his work out of us. Don't you wish he would? You know, but he moves his fruit out of us as we open the door and yield to him to do that. Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And then Romans 6:11 says, so likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now this word reckon here is so important because it means walk as if it's so. No matter how you feel, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what you think, reckon yourselves dead to sin and alive to Jesus Christ. Walk like it's true because God says it is. In Galatians 4:19, Paul says, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. That's talking about the outward part of us looking like what's happened inside. See, that's what Paul wanted. We've got it all inside. And he says, I'm going to labor till you get it, till you start acting like and acting with all this power that God has given you. Paul so desired that for them and for us. And isn't that what the fruit of the Spirit is? It's Jesus working, the expression of Christ being in us. So Paul says, I'm just laboring. I so desire that your outside reflect all that you have been given when Christ died on the cross. When you and I gave our lives to Jesus, something happened. The old nature lost its power. It was given a death blow. Now, just like we are going to experience complete salvation when we get to heaven, you know, we get rid of these bodies and we are totally pure, and we've begun that process, that complete stripping of the power of sin isn't going to happen till we get to heaven, but so much is it has been stripped now in the sense that it is no longer our master, it no longer has the power to make you obey it anymore. It's like a lizard whose tail's been cut off. You know, have you ever seen that? You know, and the tail still squirms. I read this in a commentary. He said, it's like a chicken with its head cut off. The flesh has been dealt a death blow, although it continues to flop around the barnyard of earth until the last nerve is stilled. And that's pretty much what has happened to the power of the flesh. But see, as master, it's dead. It is no longer, yes, it's calling to you, yes, it's pulling, yes, it's trying to tempt you, yes, it's calling out, but it is no longer your master. That was crucified on the cross. Its influences should no longer dominate us. See, if your flesh still masters you, if you live day after day after day mastered by your flesh, you better start wondering what happened. Because with the Holy Spirit inside of you, He is the one that is supposed to be master. And He is much stronger than the flesh. So if you see on a daily basis you are mastered by the flesh, something's wrong. Because although sin still resides in you, if you're in Christ, it is no longer your master. In an actual crucifixion, even though the criminal has been nailed to the cross, he still lives for a while, doesn't he? The thieves on the cross, they'd been nailed to the cross, but there was still one spouting out blasphemies even after he was crucified. But that's all he could do, and that's what we need to understand about the power of the flesh. It's all he could do was spout. No power to do anything else. What Paul looked to meet the needs in his life died the day he came to Christ. What motivated him before no longer motivated him. Remember, Paul was so full of pride. And that's one of the biggest sins as far as God's concerned. A new Paul was born that day. The old Paul was dead. So despite the reality of conflict, and Paul does not deny there is one, despite the fact that every day the flesh wants to overthrow us and the Holy Spirit is wooing us to Him, don't think the fight's equal. You know, it's not Holy Spirit pushing, flesh pushing, you know, who's going to win? The Holy Spirit is stronger. He has defeated the master power that the flesh has. If you truly belong to Christ, you can't lose the fight. But the Lord doesn't take us out of the fight. But rather, He, by the Holy Spirit, teaches us how to fight. And then He gives us His own sword to fight the battle. Let me clarify that you can't lose the fight in the long run getting to heaven. You lose the fight every once in a while, don't you? Why is that? Because you give in, not because you are fighting. Don't consider yourself a spectator. We've got our part. And really, the only reason there is a battle is because of us. It's that daily stuff you and I have to be concerned with. The flesh can't pull you out. If you're living in that store of the Spirit, The flesh can't come in and pull you out of it. You're safe as long as we hide in the things of the Holy Spirit. Well, what happens? You know, the enemy, what he loves to do is draw us out. And the first way he draws us out is kind of convince us, you don't need to be in the Word today. You don't need to spend time with the Lord today. And what happens? We get a little bit weaker. And as we don't spend time with the Lord, that voice of the Lord gets a little more distant, because what we're doing is we're kind of walking to the door of the store. And right at the door is the storeroom of the flesh. And as we walk closer here, what happens? Boy, we hear the call of the flesh a lot more than we hear that still small voice of the Lord, don't we? And too often what we do is we don't want to stay right in the center of God's will. We're like, how far can I go without falling? And see, we've got to see it as, how far can I go? Is I'm getting closer and closer to that door. And there's a vacuum there, isn't there? You know, he just, once you get close and you hear his voice, and his voice starts to sound pretty good. Spurgeon says it like this. He said, when I believed that Jesus was the Christ and rested my soul in him, I felt in my heart from that moment an intense hatred of the sin of every kind. I'd loved sin before, some sins in particular, but those sins became from that moment the most obnoxious to me. And though the propensity to them was still there, the love of them was clean gone. And when at any time I've transgressed and I felt that inward grief and horror that I would do such things that I used to enjoy, my relish for sin was gone. So see, like Spurgeon, you're not the person you used to be. You aren't perfect, but you're a whole lot different than you were before. When you sin now, it eats at you because you've got the Holy Spirit and you've got conviction. We've seen and can all personally bear witness to the fact that there's this continual conflict that goes on inside of us. The spirit and the flesh warring against each other. They have different goals and different desires for us. My son Tim has recently written a song called Birds Soar. And for me, it's kind of a modern-day interpretation of Paul's dilemma of when he wrote in Romans 7. I'm going to read it to you, and then Tim's going to come in and close us with it. The reason why I'm doing it twice is it's got layers to it. And the more you listen to it, the more it hits you. So I want to hit you once with it now, and then I think you'll appreciate it even more when he plays it as we close. We're two sides of the same coin, and we both decide when we're flipped over. When you're up, I'm down. And when you're down, I see the birds soar. I want to soar like the birds do. Most days we're not worth much, just the number written under In God We Trust. I am so spent and tossed around. I will wait on the Lord, mount up with wings like eagles. We're connected till the day I die, but it's no longer chance who decides. I pray I land spirit every time, but I don't pray I land at all. I pray I fly. Heads or tails, call it in the air, flesh or spirit, I'm caught up in the air. Jesus loves you. Believe in him, and you will soar like the birds do. If you could only see what I see now, I'm alive for the very first time in my life, and I'd give it up all over again to never have to go back again. Oh, the things I put myself through. Now, look at that endless view. Had everything a man could want and nothing he could use. Does your soul cling to the dust, kind of like mine does? Do you ever long for eagle's wings to perch, to lift, to fly? Freedom, liberty, emancipation, citizenship of a heavenly nation, in the air, a saint without restraint. Arise, ascend, soar, soar. You know, we're like a coin, you know, not much value than a number written under In God We Trust, in and of ourselves. But how we're flipped, heads, tails, spirit, flesh, makes all the difference, doesn't it? In life, heads, tails, it determines who gets to start with the ball. Same way spiritually, isn't it? We decide who's up or who's down. When flesh is down, it can't see anything. And when flesh is down, spirit is up. And we look up to the heavens and we soar like the birds soar. Now, I told you when we did the Holy Spirit study that we would spend a little time this week talking about that filling. And so tonight's the time to just look at that for a minute. When we looked at being filled by the Holy Spirit in Acts, just about each time that that happened, it was a specific time. They did something because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It's like the Holy Spirit gave them extra wisdom or extra boldness. But then we see in Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now this word, be filled, here is continually being filled. Walk on a consistent basis being filled with the Holy Spirit. So being filled is being wholly affected by, being influenced by the Holy Spirit. That means our part is to watch our influences, to make sure our influences in our life are spiritual if we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to be that major influence or the influence in our lives. The actions of the disciples were results of being filled, being influenced by the Holy Spirit, not their flesh. And so with us, rather than look to our flesh, lean on our flesh, listen to our flesh, give in to our flesh, we are to yield to, look to the Holy Spirit for our power and our wisdom. Now, Romans 8 is kind of an expansion of these verses that we're looking at tonight. So I wanted to look at verses 1 through 9 in the New Living. It says this, "So now there is no condemnation." Wiest, a great Greek translator, says, "There is not even a little bit." Literally, that's what it says. "Now there's not even a little bit of condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. For the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you through Christ Jesus from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses could not save us because of our sinful nature, but God put into effect a different plan to save us. He sent His own Son in a human body like ours, except that ours are sinful. God destroyed sin's control over us by giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the requirement of the law would be fully accomplished for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead we follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled or filled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there's death. If the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there's life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature." Speaking to all believers, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them are not Christ at all. So if we have the Spirit of Christ living in us, that means we're saved. And we have this fact here, you are no longer controlled by the flesh. You are controlled by the Holy Spirit. All that to say, the flesh is a defeated foe, but it's still your foe. You don't have to sin anymore. When you are tempted, it is very important that you believe this right here. In control, and you don't have to give the flesh control. It'll take it if you give it to it, because your flesh still cries out and it screams out sometimes and it says, "You need this. You need to react the way that I'm telling you. You can't help it. You can't get through this unless you give in." You have got to believe God's word more than your flesh, because your flesh is very convincing. And it tells us we can't make it unless we do it back the old flesh way. And God says, the flesh is a liar. Truth is, we can resist the temptations and that nagging voice that the flesh has, because that's all it is a nagging voice. The Holy Spirit is the one with the power. Philippians 2:13 reminds us, it's God who works in you, what? both to give us the will, the desire, and to do for His good pleasure. The power and the desire to do what He wants us to do. He is in us doing that if we listen to Him and yield to Him. The verses in Romans 8 that Paul wrote just tell us more about what he's saying in Galatians 5, 24 and 25. We've been freed from the power of sin. God destroyed sin's control. We no longer follow, or as King James puts it, walk after our sinful nature. We follow or walk after the Spirit. And following or walking after the Spirit leads to life and peace. The more time you spend with the Lord, the more time you're going to be aware of His voice, His promptings, and His power. The less time you spend with Him, the less you're going to be aware of His promptings and His voice and His power. And guess what? As I said, the louder, the more aware you're going to be of the screaming and the temptations and the "you need this" lies of the flesh. And you'll find your attentions diverted from our Savior back to the flesh. Now verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Remember what we learned in our homework. Since we live in the Spirit, let us also step in order or march in rank in the Spirit. Since we live in the Spirit, since the Spirit lives in us, He's saying, let's walk it. Let's walk the reality of what God has done. Let's walk according to His steps. You've seen soldiers march. Perfect timing, perfect movements, right in tune. Those of us who did the Israeli dancing at the R2R thing, we had so much fun. Now, but when a group of ladies are doing certain steps, somebody's got to lead. And because the whole dancing thing was my idea, I was the leader. And so I was the one that had to get it started every time we'd have a new dance. And what would happen, we'd get in a circle, and I'd have to say, okay, one, two, three, left kick, okay? You know, and I'd say, one, two, three. And they're listening, you know, intently watching me. And they're also waiting for that left kick, you know. And I lifted my leg, everybody else lifted their leg, you know. And we were in perfect timing, the way it was supposed to be. Each dancer would watch me, listen to my voice, and then continue to watch my feet as we dance. Once they stepped into the circle, they were a dancer. And then they had a choice. They could go their own way and dance, or they could follow me. Same thing with Christ. Once we step into salvation, we still have a choice, don't we? You can kind of go your own way in life, or you can follow in step the Holy Spirit. A dancer who wanted to do well and not trip up the other dancers found out it was wise to follow the leader. In the same way, since we have the Holy Spirit, we are wise to follow Him. Follow Him closely and what He would have us do. Because like the dancers, if we get out of step, we're going to be doing our own dance, aren't we? And we're going to trip up us, and we're going to trip up other people. When we become born again, the Spirit of God comes in and creates something very new in us. Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. What a change. The Holy Spirit, when He comes in, He comes in and establishes Himself as the new ruling principle in our lives. Why? Because hopefully that's what you ask Him to do when you accepted Jesus as Savior. Hopefully when you got saved, that's what you were saying. When you asked Jesus to come in, did you ask Him to take over? Or was it when you asked Jesus to come in, were you kind of just going for the salvation? See, when He came in, His intention was, I'm taking over. That's what I want to do. And He paid a very high price to be able to come in and rule in our lives. And see, if it wasn't our intention, if it wasn't your intention, then you can certainly understand why your life is such a mess. Because when he's not on the throne, and yet we have that salvation, our life is a mess, isn't it? It is flesh, spirit, flesh, spirit. Now, Paul challenged the Galatians. Had they begun in the spirit, and then they're trying to continue on their own without him? Galatians 5:25 tells us that's a bad idea. Rather, having begun in the spirit, we should walk in him, be filled with him. It's the same thing. Walk in the spirit means to do each day by the spirit, to live our lives with his enabling power. So I want to close at looking at what the spirit is. As we saw when I read you that entire passage about the phrase walking in the spirit, that phrase is used twice. It's used in verse 25 and verse 16 when he says, I say then, walk in the spirit, and that wonderful promise, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Here we can see what walking in the spirit is not. It is not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. It's not yielding to the desires of the flesh. If we do, red flag, ladies, if we're walking according to the desires of our flesh, we can know we are not walking in the spirit. Walking in the spirit is what we do when the desires produced by the spirit are stronger than the desires produced by the flesh. Because really, we do what we want to do, don't we? See, we do what we want to do most. We act according to our strongest desires. We yield to our flesh because we want to do that more than we want to follow the Holy Spirit. And we're lying if we say that's not true. That's why we need to not only be dependent on God for power, but dependent on him for the desire. Even when you yield out of obedience, you do it out of a heart that wants to please the Lord, don't you? You obey him because you love him. Jesus said that, if you love me, you'll obey me. So even in our obedience, when it's a fight, we do it because we love him. We do it because we desire to follow him more than we desire to follow the flesh. And you know when else we tend to yield to the flesh? Kind of like what I said before, that voice becomes louder. Or maybe sometimes we just forget. We forget who we are. And we forget what our life is supposed to be all about. You know, and we lose perspective. And we lose sight of God and his wonderful intentions for us. And we turn away from the Savior and we start looking this way. And we forget all about this realm that is available to us. Being led by the Spirit stresses the fact that we are acknowledging that he has a plan and a direction, and that we are looking to that plan. Walking in the Spirit stresses our behavior as a result of what he's shown us. So we're looking to him to show us his way, and then we walk in it. The Spirit leads us first by creating in us a desire to obey God. Then we walk by putting those desires into action through his power. So you see, there's no excuse for you and me to say, I can't. You're right. We can't. But the whole thing that he's been trying to tell us is, he can. He can give us the desire and he can give us the power. We are without excuse. He has done that. That privilege has been given to us when we accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. So when we walk in the Spirit, we're just simply fulfilling the desires produced by the Spirit. Now I want to give you five steps that we can have towards walking in the Spirit. Can't skip any of these steps. Now, the first one is we are to acknowledge, and I'll go from this list to scriptures, but I'll keep going back to the list. We've got to get it in our heads that we can't do anything good without Christ. Romans 7:18 reminds us, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. And we've got to believe Philippians 4:13, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So first we have to acknowledge, I can't do anything right, but I can do everything right in Christ Jesus. And then we're to pray. Look at these desires for prayers. Paul prayed, "May the God of peace make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever." Ever prayed that? God, make me complete in every good work to do your will, and may you get the glory. Psalm 51:10, "Oh Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast, a spirit that stands fast, stands firm within me." Thirdly, trust. Believe God. See, he says he's beat the power of sin in our life. Don't feel like it's still? Don't feel like you beat it? That's your flesh telling you that. God tells you the truth, and God says he has beat it. Romans 10:17 says, "So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So the more we know the word of God, the more we're going to know the God of the word. And if we're going to walk in a spirit, we've got to know who he is and what his intentions are for us. And we've got to know these promises. If I'm going to walk in the spirit, I need to know that God says, "You can do this." Not be strong and buckle up and do it. No, depend on me to do it. I've got to know how he tells me to walk in the spirit. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." We cannot be led by the Spirit unless we belong to him. So we've acknowledged our helplessness without him. We've prayed for that enablement. We've trusted him to deliver us. And now it's time to act. Reckon what God said to be true and walk in what God has declared and done for you. Now, notice this is not step one. If it were step one, all of our actions would be deeds of the flesh, wouldn't it? But too often, isn't this what we do? You know, we decide what the right thing is to do. We decide what the good thing is to do. We decide what needs to be changed in our life, and we go straight to number four. I'm going to start acting right. I can do it. I'm going to buckle up and do the right thing. And what happens? We end up burnt out, guilty and defeated and doubting. A little more tempted to give in because we think we can't do it. That's what the Judaizers did that Paul was writing about, you know. Just figure out the law and do it. We need to acknowledge that that can't be done. But we can join with Paul in declaring, as he did in 1 Corinthians 15:10, "By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain." Don't you want to say that? What he did for me, that credit card that he gave me, I used it up. But Paul says, "I labored more abundantly than they all. I worked, but yet but the grace of God which was in me." It was all God that did all that Paul did. The glory belongs to God. And so we find number five. Well, let me read this too. "If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies." Whatever you do, use God's ability, not your own, that in all things, what? God may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. So the glory belongs to him, and so we have number five. We need to thank. You know why? If you don't thank, you're going to go right back to thinking step four is number one. You acknowledge you can't do it. Have you ever done this? You acknowledge you can't do it. You pray. He gives you the victory. You act in the victory. And then what do? I did it. I can beat the flesh. That substance abuse is gone out of my life. I'm so tough. I'm so strong. But see, if we thank, if we stop and say, "Lord, you did it. Thank you." He gives the glory where it's supposed to be. And it reminds you and me, we've always got to start with number one. I can do nothing without him, but I can do everything in him that he calls me to do. So I want to close with this story from a book written about these verses. The author writes about a lesson that he learned by watching his family cat. And he said, one afternoon I was sitting on our deck, and my attention was drawn to this cat. And as always, he says his cat would spend a lot of time in the back of the house, you know, just kind of staying in this position, watching for the birds. And he found this bird, and he starts creeping towards the bird. And he said, just before the cat was ready to pounce, he said it was like the bird discovered, he got this revelation. And he said the bird just looked like all of a sudden he realized, wait a minute, I've got two dimensions that I can function in. I can function in my earthbound realm, or I can fly. I can walk, or I can fly. And instantly, it says that bird just took off, leaving the earthbound realm where the cat was destined to stay. And as it gracefully and confidently flew away, it seemed to be saying, see you later, Mr. Cat. And see, it's that same thing for you and me. With the enemy or the flesh, it gets ready to pounce on us, and sometimes we forget. And it's like, I'm doomed. I got to give in. And all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute. I've got two realms I can function in. I can function in the realm of the flesh and get pounced on, or I can fly. You know, I can function in the realm of the spirit. We can walk in the flesh, or we can walk in the spirit. We can stay on the ground, or we can fly. See, choice is ours. The ability to fly, the ability to walk in the spirit is there. We got to choose it. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, help us when we look around and we just see that enemy ready to pounce and we start to panic. Lord, remind us we've got another option. We don't have to play his game. We don't have to play on his level anymore. We can run to you and hide in you and be equipped by you. Lord, may we believe you when that temptation becomes so strong that we don't have to sin. We don't have to give in. We can fly. How we praise you and adore you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. The guys are going to come in a minute to hear this last song. So if you're in the back, say three rows, and you don't want to sit with the guys, you might want to move up. Up to you. If you want to sit with the guys, stay there. Jess, could you give Tim a nudge? Could you go? Thank you.
Just words. and life is face value. And most days were not worth much, just a number written under in God we trust. And I am so spent and tossed around.
Of a heavenly nation.
So who soars like eagles? Those who wait upon the Lord, you know, and the result of waiting upon the Lord is finding his goodness and him putting those desires and power in us, and then we walk in his spirit and we soar. So wait upon the Lord and watch what he does. God bless you, ladies.